This is John Nesbitt with another chapter in the review of human adventure, which we call Our Passing Parade. And this time, we deal with the highly melodramatic account of a man who appears to have courted death for all the days of his life. In a moment, we will follow the case of Wild Jack Howard, the man who searched for death in the passing parade. Watching our review now, down in Australia, every sailor and cowpuncher and lumberman still clearly remembers Wild Jack Howard, the toughest fighter, the best sport, the best drinker, and the man who could cuss the longest on a single breath of any man in Queensland. They remember also that he was a big man with heavy black eyebrows and a great booming laugh. He was the kind of a man that you could always depend upon to lend you all the money that he had in his pocket if you were broke or needed a drink. They also remember that he showed up in Sydney about 22 years ago as a common deckhand on a sailing ship and promptly spent all his wages buying drinks for everybody in sight. Then he went to work as a cowhand, next as a sawmill hand, and suddenly acquiring some money, no one could imagine where or how, he bought himself a sheep ranch. Australians next remember that Wild Jack, one of the best-loved men in the bush country, suddenly disappeared. A few months later, when the English newspapers arrived, they saw his picture on page one. Under the picture was his name, but it was not printed Wild Jack Howard, but His Lordship Charles Henry George Howard, Earl of Suffolk. That was just the first time that the amazing Earl of Suffolk astounded and delighted the world. For 20 generations, the Earls of Suffolk have done just about as they pleased, and what they pleased to do was invariably dangerous. They have been explorers, privateers, rebels, and patriots. In fact, the father of the first Earl of Suffolk was gently beheaded by Queen Elizabeth because he was a little bit too unruly. And it was in the first week of March, 1906, that the 20th Earl, Charles Henry George Howard, arrived on Earth as the heir to a 40-room Renaissance-style mansion and a 10,000-acre estate called Charlton Park. By the time he was 17 years old, Charles Henry George Howard was bored to death. The Earls of Suffolk had always gone to sea, so the new Earl was sent to the Royal Naval College. He lasted just 1 year. Then he went down to a second-hand store at the waterfront, bought himself the oldest clothes he could find, and calling himself Jack Howard, he got a berth as a common sailor and went to sea the way he wanted to. He returned the following year, believe it or not, with a pet parrot on his shoulder, a beard on his face, and a green snake and a skull and crossbones tattooed on his forearm. His mother, the Dowager Countess of Suffolk, a former American girl from Chicago, by the way, broke down and wept when she saw him. Charles Henry George agreed to shave off the beard and to join the Scots Guard. That lasted just 11 months. Then he was off for Australia again as Jack Howard. When he returned 6 years later to manage the enormous estate in England, he almost went mad looking for things to do that would be exciting. He tried going to college. He went to Oxford, where he studied high explosives and poisons, but he was still bored. Actually, when the Second World War began in 1939, it was a godsend to this wretchedly unhappy man who had searched everywhere on earth to escape the boredom of great wealth. He was one of those amazing human beings who are born for excitement and danger, whose physical makeup actually has to have the stimulus of excitement to function properly. And so promptly, the Monday morning after the Athenia was torpedoed, he rushed down to the office of the Minister of War in England, demanded to be signed up at once. 2 hours later, he walked out of the office. He strode down the street. He turned into a bar. Ordering 12 double brandies to be set on the table in front of him, he drank them all down, hurling the empty glasses across the room. For while Jack Howard, the Earl of Suffolk, had been rejected from military service because of an old infection of rheumatic fever that he had picked up in the tropics. But he went to France anyway as a civilian to be as close to the fighting as possible. In Paris, wearing a 10-gallon hat that he had bought in Australia and a pair of automatic pistols stuck under his belt, during the period of the phony war, he entertained crowds in bar rooms by sitting at a table and shooting plates out of midair. Then, in the midst of this foolishness, he discovered a job that a civilian could do. He knew that the Germans would probably take Paris. He also knew that in the bank vaults there were enormous supplies of industrial diamonds that had been brought in from Belgium to keep them from falling into the hands of the Germans. Diamonds have a far greater value in wartime than in peace, for they are used as cutting tools in working the hardest steels in the making of guns. With a big French sailor pal to help him, he went to the largest bank in Paris, presented his card, and announced that he was there to take all the diamonds in the bank and carry them over to England, where they would be useful in winning the war. Of course, the banker simply looked at him in amazement and refused. And the next thing the banker noticed about this extraordinary man was that he was holding an automatic pistol in each hand. At least, that is what the banker explained to his board of directors. 2 days later, the Earl of Suffolk, his French bodyguard, and a pretty 21-year-old blonde secretary started out at 70 miles an hour from Paris for Bordeaux in the south of France. In the back of their car was a satchel which contained an estimated $2 million worth of industrial diamonds. Arriving once more in England and presenting the diamonds to his government with his compliments, Charles Henry George Howard again found life utterly, unendurably boring. He started looking around for something new and dangerous to do, and he found it. After a moment, we'll come to these climactic hours in the life of Wild Jack Howard, a man who sought a violent death from the passing parade. This is John Nesbitt returning to the reviewing stand and to Wild Jack. In the year 1940, the Blitzkrieg of London began. Large areas in the city had to be roped off and guarded by police, and signs warned that an unexploded bomb was in the vicinity. At any unknown instant, that bomb would go off. To go near one of them was to ask for death. The Earl, of course, was delighted, for he had found a wonderful new occupation, dismantling unexploded bombs. Now, he had a certain careful technique of handling these bombs. He would arrive in his 16-cylinder limousine with that pretty secretary at his side, and he would park two blocks away. Then he would get out of the car and hand his ivory cigarette holder to the girl. Take good care of that. It's valuable. If anything happens, I don't want it ruined. Then he would take a field telephone with a long wire attached to it, which was connected with another instrument in the car. Walking up to the bomb, he would carefully dictate to his secretary as he worked, telling her correctly everything that he did. This was so that if the bomb exploded and the Earl were killed, the next man who took his place would know what he had done wrong and not make the same mistake with another type of that bomb. English explosive experts learned more from the Earl's notes than if they'd been able to see inside a German munitions plant. The Earl got to know German bombs so well that he became bored with them. He got so that he could tell at a glance which ones were dangerous and which were harmless duds. He became so very bored with the whole thing that he carried the dud bombs up to his concrete laboratory and kept them there as souvenirs, writing insulting remarks about how stupid the Germans were across the sides of the bombs. On one of them, he chalked the label, Old Faithful. He was having a wonderful time now. He had enough excitement for even the 20th Earl of Suffolk. He would swagger down the streets of London wearing loud checkered trousers, yellow vests, and always that 10-gallon hat. He loved to irritate his family by wearing it. Every night was a party for the Earl and the staff that worked with him, and the treats were always on the Earl. Having turned his mansion into a convalescent home for soldiers, he threw these parties at waterfront hash houses, and he entertained his guests by playing the latest American swing tunes on the piano. Finally, he decided that his staff needed a vacation. At a dinner party in a London restaurant, Sunday night, May 10th, 1942, he made his announcement. The whole crowd would go up to his estate and do nothing but loaf for 2 weeks at his expense. While everyone was drinking to this wonderful vacation, his friends noticed that he called over the head waiter. As the man came up, the Earl held up his little finger. Do you see that finger, Felix? Now you be good to that finger, because one of these days that's all of me that will show up for dinner. Then he gave the head waiter a 5-pound note as a tip, and the party broke up. The next morning, Monday, he and his crew went to the concrete laboratory to clean up a few bits of work before leaving on their vacation. So the Earl reached up and took down the dud bomb, Old Faithful. He said, "Well, you foolish old thing, as a matter of precaution, I'd best take care of you before I go." He set it in the vise on the workbench, and picking up a wrench, adjusted it carefully and put it in place on the fuse mechanism of that bomb to take it apart. his hand pressed on the handle of the wrench. An instant later, the sirens began to scream, for the wardens thought there must be a bombing raid. They heard such a tremendous explosion. 8 members of that bomb squad, including the pretty blonde secretary and the Earl himself, were instantly killed. The 20th Earl of Suffolk, who had gleefully courted death all of his life, had found it at last. In a moment, we'll return to close with today's footnote for the passing parade. As a footnote for today's review concerning Howard, the 20th Earl of Suffolk, we have time to observe that his malady, a subconscious pleasure in flirting with death, is one of the commonest causes which leads great men to great adventure. We have many such stories in the parade files, and as this year's edition comes to you again and again, we will see that danger itself may be the driving force that has led many a man to change the world. But our time's up, so until we meet again, this is John Nesbitt bidding a goodbye to you all.